Is Christmas going to be the same for you this year as it has been in the past? Are you going to do the same things this Christmas that you did the previous Christmas and the Christmas before? Will you buy your gifts early this year? Or will you wait to the last minute like you did last year and the year before that, depending on what kind of person you are, whether you are an early gift buyer or a late gift buyer? Will you go to the same old work Christmas party that you've been to for 8 years in a row and see the same old person from work get drunk and eat bad meatballs? Will you take the obligatory trip with the kids to see Santa at the mall and stand in the long line just like last year, and then to find out when you get to see Santa that Santa now needs to take a break? As the little elves tell you, even Santas need a break. Will you carry out the same routine this Christmas day that you have in the past, where you open up presents at your house, and then you go to your parents' house and open presents, and then you go to the in-laws and open presents, and then the grandma's, and then you come home and you collapse on the couch from exhaustion, and then you get enough energy in the days to come to go back out to the mall to bring back that which you don't want, that which didn't fit, that which didn't work, and to spend all the money that you have from those gift cards that people bought you because they didn't know what in the world they were supposed to buy for you in the first place. And then are you ready in 10 days to take down the Christmas tree and all the Christmas decorations and store them away just to repeat it all next year? For most of us, Christmas is the same old. Even the telling of the Christmas story, like I read this morning, can become the same old. It can become routine. The telling of the Christmas story can become such a familiar and common experience that we lose the significance of it. With the annual repetition of the familiarity of that story, we can somehow, sometimes, miss the joy, the presence of God, the greatness that is revealed because we've heard that story year after year. Well, whether we lose the significance of Christ's birth because of the same old, the routine of running around at Christmas time, or whether we lose the significance and the joy of Christmas because we've heard the story over and over and over again, one thing is certain. And that is the devil, the enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him. By the way, he doesn't have a pitchfork. He doesn't have pointy ears like that, probably. He's greater than that. But whatever you want to call him, the enemy would like nothing better than for all of us to get consumed in the busyness of Christmas, in the same old, in the routine, hearing the same story over and over again without a new flavor. He'd love for us to be consumed in that way so that we miss the joy and the power and the peace and the celebration that comes from Jesus' birth. He'd like nothing better than for all things at Christmas to crowd out Jesus in our lives so that there's no room in the inn when Jesus comes to dwell in our hearts. Routines, the same old, can be a dangerous thing around Christmas time. Today I want to look at how God divinely interrupted some shepherds long ago to knock them right out of their same old, their same routine, in order to reveal to them the glory and the celebration and the joy of Jesus being born. Those shepherds that lived 2,000 years ago were broken out of their routine. They were pushed to see Jesus in Bethlehem in the manger. And having seen that, they worshiped God. And then they told others. I think it's in the actions of this Christmas drama, being interrupted, seeing Jesus, worshiping, telling others about Jesus, that we find the biblical sledgehammer that shatters the routine and crushes the same old that would seek to rob us of the Christmas joy that God wants to give to us. So what of these shepherds? Remember the story? The little town of Bethlehem was abuzz because the emperor, Caesar Augustus, had said that there was going to be a census. And so every male in the kingdom was to go back to their ancestral homeland, and they were to register so they could be taxed. And so Joseph, a carpenter, and his expectant wife, Mary, make their way to Bethlehem, to Joseph's ancestral place. And the place is buzzing. But apart from Bethlehem and some fields far from the frantic rush, far from the hustle and bustle, there's some shepherds that are quietly and tenderly taking care of their sheep and minding their own business. They're unaware that that very night they are going to witness something so special that it will not only change their lives, but it's going to change the lives of millions of people, and it's going to change the course of history. And that's the birth of Jesus. Little did they know that the darkness of night would be shattered by a sight to behold, an unusual appearance of angel. Their lives are interrupted by a heavenly messenger with a strange message. The routine, the same old of the shepherds, blown to pieces as they learn the news about a babe that's going to be born in Bethlehem. The fact that, you know, it's the shepherds that God announces this earth-shattering news to is a demonstration in and of itself of how God interrupts to break routines. For who would have thought that it was to the lowly shepherds that this wonderful news, this earth-shattering news of Jesus' birth was going to be announced? I mean, it would have been more routine, more same old, if that news had been announced to the emperor in the emperor's courts. It would have been more routine if that earth-shattering news that Jesus' son was going to be born on earth was announced to the religious leaders of the day. It would have been routine if that news would have been announced to the rich, to the merchants of the day. But instead, God turns things upside down. He breaks the routine. He breaks the same old, as he does all the time, and he announces it to some lowly shepherds. Because one thing you have to remember about shepherds is that shepherds were the lowest of the lowest class in Jewish society at that time. They didn't go home at night. They slept in the fields. They were dirty, and they smelled. Because they tended sheep, and because in the Jewish religion, sheep were looked upon as unclean, shepherds were not allowed to come out of the fields and go to the temple in Jerusalem to worship, because they were unclean and they would defile the holy temple. And because of this, the life of a shepherd, the job of a shepherd, was lonely. It was weary. It was usually very boring. It was the doldrums. Unless, of course, a wild animal attacked or some bandits came to try to take over the sheep. But that happened very rarely. Most of the time, the life and job of a shepherd was just plain monotony. So what kept these particular shepherds going was hope. Hope that there was going to be one born, a Messiah, a Savior, who was going to come and make things different. One who was going to turn things upside down. One who was going to break the same old, the routines. The same God who divinely interrupted the shepherds broke their routines. Who took away their same old. That same God is the God that bursts into our lives. Even in the season of Christmas, to shatter our routines. You know, part of the problem in getting into our routines at Christmas and doing the same old is that we lose sight of Christ. It's hard to see Christ when you're still fuming because you've waited to the last minute to go shopping and someone at the mall steals your parking spot. When you're that angry, it's hard to see Christ. It's hard to see Christ when your mother-in-law is criticizing how you've cooked the meal, Well, your father-in-law talks about how much weight you've gained since you've last seen him. It's hard to see Christ when you spend all the money you have and all the money you don't have to buy gifts for people. Money that you don't have, and you become up into debt to your eyeballs. Because that's the expectation. You wouldn't dare show up without a gift, even though you can't afford it. But these are the routines, the same old, that most of us find ourselves in. When this happens, we run the risk of being like the people in the movie there. We get blinders where we only see ourselves. We become all about ourselves. We don't see the person in need next to us. We don't see Christ in the face of the overtired, overworked, underpaid store clerk. We don't see Christ in the person out there freezing, ringing the Salvation Army bell, or giving a bottle of water to someone who's thirsty at a Christmas parade. We run the risk in our same old Christmas dramas of forgetting what it's all about with the expectations, with all the gift buying, with all the parties, with all the cooking, with all the preparations. We run that risk, if we're not careful, of letting that blind us to where Jesus is working in our lives, where Jesus is to be seen in other people. We become shepherds before their lives were divinely interrupted by an angel, and that we experience Christmas as lonely, as weary, as boring and burdensome. And Jesus is trying to break in there, interrupt us, to smash the same old. The good news for us is that the God of divine interruption, the God who threw off the chains of death and was resurrected, is the same God, Jesus Christ, who can help us to throw off the chains of routine Christmas that seek to bind us. How does God interrupt us then? In our same old, in our Christmas running around. You know, God doesn't always send angels to us that are going to break the night sky. Instead, He usually interrupts us through people and events in our lives. That while standing in the Santa line, waiting to see Santa, you might see a young mother with a newborn baby on her shoulder. It might just trigger something in your mind to make you think, that must have been what it was like for Mary to hold the baby Jesus. That's something special that's there. It might be that you go to the grocery store and you're going to buy those last three things to finish the meal that you're preparing. But there's only one line open after you pick up those things. And the person in front of you doesn't have one basket, but two baskets with 500 things in them. And you think to yourself, gosh, I'm for another half hour. When all of a sudden they turn around and say, well, why don't you ahead of me? You see, you begin to see Christ in small things, in people, or the co-worker who you don't particularly get along with, bring cookies as a peace offering, or in the brother that has been long lost and hasn't been to Christmas with the family for many a Christmas. All of a sudden comes. We could go on. The point is that if you just open your eyes, you can see Christ around you this Christmas. Christ saying to you and calling out, hey, I'm still here. I'm still alive. Even through the tinsel, even through the lights. And seeing Jesus in our Christmas, we, like the shepherds, experience a Christmas that moves from routine and same old, and ordinary Christmas that's extraordinary. Like the shepherds who went looking for a manger, we look for the not-so-obvious places where Jesus is during Christmas. Often in those not-so-ordinary places and people that we find Jesus. I mean, who would have thought that you would have found Jesus in a manger? That the Son of God, God with us, was going to be born in a manger. Do you know what a manger is? A manger is actually a feeding trough. It's something that animals eat out of. And here is God with us being born and placed in a feeding trough. How unusual. How different, how out of the ordinary. But then who would have thought that we'd find Jesus in the store clerk or in the student who comes up to us after class or in the Salvation Army bell ring? You know, contrary to popular belief, Jesus doesn't hang out in the church most of the time. He goes outside the church. He doesn't stay within these four walls. Instead, Jesus is out there amongst the poor. Jesus is out there amongst those who are struggling. Jesus is out there amongst the downtrodden. Jesus is out there amongst the grief-stricken, the hurting, those who need physical healing. That's where Jesus is. Remember, he said, "I came not for the well, but I came for the sick." He's out there in the unusual places amongst not-so-ordinary people. If our same old is to be turned on its ear this year, we do well to keep our eyes peeled, as the saying goes, that we might see Jesus in these unlikely places. When that same old is removed, is broken after glimpsing Jesus, it is then that we are called to be like those shepherds. Now, the scripture says that the shepherds did two things after their lives were divinely interrupted, after their same old was broken. The first thing they did was they worshiped God. They were worshiping. The second thing they did is they told other people all that had happened. When God breaks into our lives and smashes the same old, all we are left to do is to worship God and tell others how great God is. And we stand in awe of the one who comes to break us out of that routine, that same old. So the question this morning is, would you allow God to interrupt your life? To break the same old, the routine of your Christmas? Will you consider trading in the old, tired garments that you've been wearing Christmas after Christmas and exchange them for the new elegant dress or the dapp tuxedo that is the new way of looking at Christmas? Will you open your eyes wide enough and look to the sides often enough, unlike the family in the video, to catch a glimpse of Christ, and having your life interrupted, having the routine broken and the same old pass away, will you then be like the shepherds and worship Him? Tell others about how great He is.